Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Superhero Deep Dive. I am your host, Jason. I have a really interesting episode scheduled today, and I've got a lot to go over. So, before I do, let me get my disclaimers done, and we'll start getting into everything. So, as you know, the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero that we're talking about. Also, if you think I leave stuff out, a lot of times it's on purpose. It's because I don't feel it's pertinent to the character, or it might just be a little too confusing for people to get into the character with, or it may just be one of those things where they did it and then they kind of took it back and it just makes it hard to follow. So a lot of times I do leave stuff out like that simply because I want people to be interested in the character, do their own research, like look into the character, look into how great they are, and then find out stuff on their own. But as always, if you ever have any feedback, if you have critiques, comments, fun facts you'd like to share, discussions you'd like to have, requests for future episodes, I am 100% wide open for that. You can reach me you can reach me on Twitter or Instagram under Super Deep Dive, and I use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. You can email me at b4itall@yahoo.com, or you can catch me on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. I post these shows every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Comment, like, subscribe, share, help me out. It's a little click for you. It means a whole lot to me to help the channel grow. I really do appreciate it. I love the comments. We end up having great discussions on things, especially like casting choices. I've had some people, like a good friend of the show named Anton, he has given me plenty of his own theories on what should happen or own expansions on characters, which has been great because then we kind of go back and forth. Everything gets acknowledged. You can catch me wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and you can catch me every Tuesday and Thursday on Outward Fleet Radio, which is an awesome internet radio station, has lots of great shows. Their website is www.un-con-ventional.com/radio, and I do play every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day on that. Okay, so with that being said, I have had a lot of requests. They are all Marvel characters, so we are going to be heavily Marvel-centric for the time being. I think I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 characters that have been either emailed to me or put on comments or just talked to me directly through DMs and stuff. So they're great. I have a lot. Out of the 7 or 8, all except one are female. So we are going strong with the women power on this, which is awesome because we need to have strong female representation in comics and not dependent female representation. And when I say that, I mean each one of these characters I'm going to be covering in the next few weeks, they can all stand on their own. They can all have series. They can all do stuff on their own. And I think that maybe they should. I don't know. But we'll let you guys decide. I'll throw it to you. This week I'm going to be talking about Psylocke. She is the Asian, but not really Asian, but in an Asian body kind of hero. Member of the X-Men mutant powers. You know, all that good stuff. Has a psychic knife. Ninja. Thong One Piece bathing suit. It's pretty much how people know her. Sorry, not sorry, because that's literally what they did. Have problems with the character, but also have solutions. So, let's get into her. Her real name is Elizabeth Betsy Braddock. Now, Betsy Braddock was initially a supporting character in the adventures of her twin brother, Brian Braddock, as the original Captain Britain. She was actually temporarily a Captain Britain herself, and then she later joined the X-Men in 1986 as Psylocke, a codename coined by the villains Mojo and Spiral. Which Spiral was actually a character request. So we will be doing her in the next month or two. Originally presented as a precog or precognitive in the pages of Captain Britain, and then as a telepath, she later developed telekinesis as well as martial arts skills, the latter of which derived from a body swap with the Japanese mutant ninja Kwannon, lasting nearly 30 years of publication history. Yes. She and Kwannon were returned to their original bodies in a 2018 story, after which Betsy permanently took up the mantle of Captain Britain, while Kwannon adopted the Psylocke identity. Okay. That last bit, where, sorry if you guys hear that, dog decided to freak out because they like freaking out whenever I record. Don't know why, it's just what they do. That's a beagle, by the way. I don't know if you hear it, because I sure hear it. He yells at everything. Anyways, that last bit about where Captain Britain and Kwannon switched back to their original bodies, we're going to disregard that because a lot of people don't really know that, and that's not how they recognize her. So we're going to kind of, for all intents and purposes, we're going to ignore that happened, because we want to get into the character itself. Okay. In Marvel UK's Daredevils, not Daredevil, but Daredevils, plural, number 3, and this isn't back in March of 1983, writer Alan Moore established that the character has begun to work for the fictional government organization Strike, who are making use of her psychic abilities. Her lover at the time, Tom Lennox, is also a Strike operative and is later murdered. The story also presents the characters having dyed her hair purple after being originally blonde. This hair color has subsequently become the dominant presentation on the character. You always know her by her purple hair. The next major change for the character came in 1986 when they relaunched the Captain Britain series, and Betsy Braddock stands in for her brother as Captain Britain and is rendered blind by the supervillain Slaymaster. Okay, now in New Mutants Annual No. 2, which was in 1986, Chris Claremont integrated Betsy Braddock into the X-Men franchise. The story sees her abducted to the Mojoverse, where she is subjected to brainwashing, fitted with bionic eyes, and referred to as the Psylocke for the first time. After being rescued by the New Mutants, she takes up residence at their Mutant Training Academy, run by Magneto at the time, and this is because Professor X had been absent. After aiding the team unofficially, Braddock proves herself by distracting the attentions of the murderous supervillain Sabretooth. Afterwards, Braddock is formally invited to join the X-Men and officially adopts the codename Psylocke, becoming an enduring fixture of the team over the next 3 decades. Okay, now this is before she was switched over. If you're not familiar with Mojo, Mojo kind of runs this dimension that's based on TV ratings. So everything has to be a production. And Spiral was kind of his, six-armed right-hand person. She's awesome. I can't wait to do a deep dive on her, because she's gonna be amazing with it. There's going to be some really cool things that we can do. But that's how she is. They kind of wrote her as like a low-level telepath, you know. But we can build on this. There's a lot to build on. Initially written as a pure non-mutant telepath with few fighting skills, Betsy later adopts body armor. Later in X-Men, Uncanny X-Men 251, the X-Men flee from the cybernetic terrorists, the Reavers, through the Siege Perilous, which is an extra-dimensional teleportation device. The now amnesiac Betsy is taken in by the Hand, who brainwash and physically alter her to take on an East Asian appearance so that she can blend in Hong Kong. Braddock now believes herself to be Lady Mandarin, the Hand's supreme assassin. After she is rescued by the X-Men's Wolverine and overcomes her brainwashing, the character retains the combat skills granted through the Hand's modification techniques, as well as the ability to manifest her total focused telepathy in the form of a psychic knife. Now, with the launch of the second volume of X-Men, which was later rebranded X-Men Legacy in 1991, the team splits, with Betsy joining the team led by Cyclops. Jim Lee wrote these, and when he did, the character becomes flirtatious with Cyclops, eventually attempting to seduce him. At this point, Quanon, a new character with the physical appearance of Betsy prior to the hand's manipulation, claims to be the original Betsy Braddock, accusing the Japanese-featured Betsy of being an imposter. You know, this was right before Jim Lee and a bunch of other people left Marvel to form Image Comics. So they had to kind of pass it off at that point. When this happened, they passed it off to Fabian Nicieza, which I know I butchered that name. I'm so sorry, because you are a legend in comics that I never pronounce the name correctly on. He established that Quanon was the imposter, and that Braddock's flirtation with Cyclops were part of a genetic and mental splicing in which the Quanon imposter was first created, a body swap having occurred. So that's really convoluted. I don't know where they were trying to go with this, but it seems pretty sloppy to me. In 1994, there was a relationship between Betsy Braddock and her teammate Archangel, and the character is severely injured by a crazed Sabretooth, but her life is saved by the use of a mystic artifact known as the Crimson Dawn, the after effects of which granted Betsy the ability to teleport in and out of shadows. Psylocke then leaves the team for a bit for her own adventures, which, I mean, let's be honest, really means she was written off for a bit. Like, they didn't have anything for her. Let's see here. Braddock later returns to the team, where she uses her Crimson Dawn enhanced telepathy to trap the Shadow King in the astral plane. Any use of her telepathy would result in his release, so she forgoes the use of her telepathic ability, and then sometime later she would develop telekinesis for the first time. And then Betsy's relationship with Archangel ends, where the character embarks on a relationship with a new Indian X-Men, which I'm assuming is a Native American X-Men, Neil Shara, known as Thunderbird. I have not done this Thunderbird. I don't know if it's the same one, or if they're actually India Indian, or if they're Native American Indian. I don't want to look right now. It's not time for a field trip, because I still have plenty to cover. So, well, not too much, but I have a lot in this character to go over. Alright, in Extreme X-Men number 2, Psylocke dies, and her comic book death lasts until 2005. Chris Claremont also wrote this issue, later stating that he had always intended to revive Psylocke, and briefly the character was depicted in Exiles, a spin-off comic book series in the X-Men franchise, set in an alternate universe, and with the cancellation of the new Exiles, Betsy Braddock starred in her first solo book, The X-Men, Sword of the Braddocks One-Shot. Afterwards, the character was brought back to the main universe in early 2009 within the pages of Uncanny X-Men. Beginning in November of 2009, Betsy Braddock was featured in a self-titled 4-issue miniseries, and Matsuo Saraiba and Wolverine are central characters in the story. Elizabeth Betsy Braddock had been involved in a series of romantic relationships during the years. As a member of Strike's side division, she was involved with fellow agent Tom Lennox. He was murdered while trying to defend her, during which time she was telepathically linked to him. Telepathically experiencing his death left her traumatized for a time, which it should. That's messed up. After returning to the X-Men in Quanon's body, Betsy telepathically manipulated Cyclops, her team leader, into being romantically attracted to her. But she was also a half-naked Asian lady. I mean, it's not gonna lie, that's kind of a hard thing to not be attracted to. So, you know, just saying. After regaining her full personality from Quanon, Betsy offered a belated apology to Jean Grey, admitting that the flirtation was due to the presence of Quanon's lingering personality traits in her mind. But she did, in fact, find Cyclops attractive. Later, Betsy and Archangel had a romantic relationship but chose to end it after realizing that the differences between the two were too great. After Betsy's death, Archangel suffered anguish from being unable to save her, but eventually made peace with it and moved on to a relationship with Paige Guthrie, who was Husk, who was also a character request. We'll be covering her because she is amazing! She's one of my favorites. Betsy and the X-Men, Neil Sharer, were romantically involved until her death, and after joining the X-Files, Betsy has been flirting with her teammate Sabretooth. They passionately kiss each other, eventually leading to both acting on their romantic feelings more intimately. Sometime later, Betsy and Archangel have been seen to be in the process of rebuilding their romantic relationship, and Betsy later had a brief romantic relationship with both Phantom X and his female counterpart Cluster after Phantom X was separated into three people. So, there's a lot with that. But that's her history. Like, this lady has been around for a long time. And they had her in so many things, but there's just not a lot of history. So what does that tell you? It means that for how they wrote her, for them putting her in an Asian body, to play on like the exoticness and kind of like the diversity at the time, to put her in like a thong kind of one piece bathing suit equivalent. I mean, she was like Cammy from Street Fighter almost, you know, like they did that and then not have a lot of storyline to her. She was there for eye candy. She was there for sex appeal. Sorry, not sorry. Had to say it. And I don't think that's very cool. You know, they played to, in the 90s, comic books were really popular amongst teenagers, and I bet that's one of the reasons why. Excuse me. Okay, but powers. She's telekinetic, she's got telepathy, she's a precog, so she can kind of read your mind and get, kind of tell, like, the immediate future, which is awesome. An expert martial artist, and she's able to construct weapons made of psychic energy, usually in the form of a blade, like a knife or a katana. Some fun facts. In her original body, Betsy Braddock was a natural blonde. In New Mutants Volume 1, Annual 2, Betsy actually makes her first appearance in American comics. Betsy still has the knowledge of Quanon's body, which means she's got the fighting skills and stuff. And Psylocke and Cypher were mutually attracted to each other, but nothing ever came of it. Probably due to the major age gap, which would be illegal. So, just saying. When Psylocke was in Quanon's body, she was attracted to Cyclops and mentally manipulated him to be attracted to her, but nothing came of it. Psylocke was involved in a long-term relationship with Angel, but they broke it off. She was also involved with Thunderbird. Let's see here. Psylocke and Beast flirted with one another in Extreme X-Men Volume 1. It was revealed in the same comic that Dr. McCoy had a crush on Betsy when she was a supermodel. And she was actually a model in her early days. Like, so that's kind of how she was presented. Though Psylocke's earlier costumes were considered to be basically modest, she has been known lately for unusually revealing costumes, a habit she shares with Emma Frost. To Emma Frost, just when she first came on the scene, she wore basically a lingerie, like white lingerie and a white cape. And that was pretty much it. She was also played by Olivia Munn in X-Men Apocalypse. As Betsy and Quanon had merged mind, powers, and body, Psylocke's body has the appearance of a curvy, partial Asian, mostly Caucasian woman. So they kind of melded the two. Excuse me. So, there's that. Like, DC, like, they just didn't do a whole lot with the character. But I want to know what you think. Am I being too harsh on the Psylocke character? I think personally, you know, they made Psylocke as a kind of like a sex symbol, and I think the lack of storylines really supports that. Everything that happened to her was always, you know, kind of a mixed bag of relationships, or whose body is she in? You know, like, I mean, there's really not a whole lot to her, but there could be. So let me know what you think. Like I said, you can email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. Catch me on Twitter or Instagram under Super Deep Dive and use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. You can also catch me on YouTube. Comment, like, subscribe on any of the videos, especially this one if it's pertinent to this, because that would make the most sense. Like, please don't comment on my Ragman video with something with Psylocke, because that wouldn't make sense. But comment on the videos. If you guys subscribe, listen to it, like, put it on in the background if you want, like on a separate tab, and mute the tab. It doesn't matter to me, but it does help out a whole lot if you guys subscribe, and then I get the watch hours and stuff with it, because it'll help me grow the channel, help me be prominent more to so more people can access it, and that'll be great. Because it's all about like what these obscure characters are doing, and as we see in the MCU right now, obscure characters are kind of taking over. Like, everyone is loving finding these random hidden characters. So, it's awesome. And this is the podcasts like these are where it starts, with the random obscure characters to introduce you to it. Don't forget, I did the Spiral episode, and then like a week or two later, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse number 2 showed that was going to be the villain. Perfect reference right there. Like, now you know about the spot. You're welcome. I'm not taking credit for it. I'm just saying it did work out in such a way that it was funny. All right. But now I'm going to get to my favorite part. This is the power expansion section. This is where I kind of go in and say, does this character need a new comic series? Do they need an animated series? Would that work? What about a movie? Like something on Amazon, like a series on Amazon or DC or Disney Plus or Netflix or Hulu, whatever, you know, because they all have their own different feels to it. Going into this, I was honestly surprised at how little history Psylocke actually got, considering how much she was actually featured in the 90s. It turns out she was set up more as an eye candy or sex appeal character, and I genuinely think that sucks. Like royally sucks. She was a cool character that had a lot of potential to do something. And the writers and artists just kind of went in and started thinking with the wrong head in regards to her. Oh, she's a cool British telepath. Let's make her into an Asian sex goddess instead. Let's take her demure nature and put her in a thong one piece and let's roll with that. Like, dude, she could have been better. We could have done better. And I think before, you know, she was dressed really conservatively in her early start. And, you know, I think maybe that pissed off the writers or the artists. I don't know. But they wanted to sex up the character, and that's what they did. But Psylocke has had a criminally bad run in the comics in terms of storytelling. And like I said, I think we can do better. In fact, I think we owe it to one another, as people in general, to do better. So here's what I propose. Let's get Psylocke her own Disney Plus series. We can keep it light and airy, which is why I wanted Disney Plus. Nothing too hardcore, so we can keep it Disney friendly. And let's establish a set story for Psylocke that we can build from going forward. And I'm talking, when I say build on, I'm talking about future movie appearances, tie-ins with other series, even comic stories. Like, we can totally reboot and rebrand the character in a good way. But let's get Psylocke her own story and build her up. So this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about getting about her being a model, like how she was originally. Maybe getting her telepathic powers by hearing the photographer's thoughts or the makeup artist's thoughts, stuff like that. Like Like, maybe she was conceited at the time or very narcissistic. Because I'm not saying all models are, but I am saying that that is a stereotype of models. And this is someone with a photography background. I've worked with a lot of models. I've met some that are the salt of the earth. They're great. Hazel, I'm talking to you. Kaylee, I'm talking to you. But I've also met some that are super, super conceited. I'm not going to mention their names. And they just thought they were like the next best thing. So what if she starts hearing their thoughts? You know, so that's kind of how she gets her powers. Like, she's in a photo shoot, she starts getting that. So, you know, she starts learning from that. And she goes from being a conceited character to more demure and independent. Because she doesn't like those thoughts of her being frail and needy and stuck up. Like the impression she may have given people. So she goes and she dresses more conservatively. She doesn't kind of show everything. She stands up and she's more proper. She's not, you know, like some of these models out there, we see them out, you know, at clubs dancing and kind of getting drunk and they're living their best life. But what if she does that in kind of a more prim and proper way? You see her actually kind of devoting herself to more sophistication and stuff like that. Because she doesn't like that impression that she's given. And, you know, then with that, she starts to train herself. So she gets stronger, learning to defend herself. And she's using her telepathy to predict people's movements based on their thoughts. So that's where she's getting that kind of precog ability. And she ends up being a formidable force unto herself. Then she gets noticed by the British government and is recruited for their superhuman task force. And, you know, with this is the perfect place to throw in Captain Carter. You know, because Captain Carter can help her train in combat and stuff like that. You know, and battle tactics. Like, this is the perfect way to get her in. So, as she trains, she learns how to use her telepathy to make her psychic knife. And with that, her and Captain Carter, you know, and whoever else they bring in, if they bring in the Black Knight during that time from Eternals, you know, they use it to be a true force in the United Kingdom. Because the United Kingdom, you know, historically, and when I say historically, I mean storytelling-wise, is based on a lot of magic. Like, a lot of magic stuff, a lot of mysticism happens with that. So, that's how they do with Season 1. Season 2, they kick it in. She goes on to a huge mission against a big baddie in Europe. Maybe Mojo and Spiral, but instead of them being like another dimension based on TV ratings, like, they just incorporate it into the UK with like some kind of big thing. I don't know what, but let's bring in Mojo and Spiral. But in an earthly MCU kind of way. So she gets captured by them. Later in the series, her mind is transferred into that of an Asian woman who worked for them, so they could get her to be their assassin. But like, they wanted Betsy Braddock's powers, but instead they got kind of the whole consciousness was transferred. So she finishes Season 2 in the body of the Asian assassin, Quanon. And then we start getting the Psylocke that we all know. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I have the sniffles. Sinuses are crazy. And there's no way I can get through this podcast if I stop, blow my nose, start over again. Like, it would be a mess. So I do apologize. I hope it doesn't offend anyone. But it's nothing bad, it's just sinus. Okay, anyway, Season 3. So we're third year into this. I'm getting into the story, because we're playing the long game with it. I want the story to last. Season 3 is where she starts to realize who she is. She makes peace in her new body and becomes the hero we all know and love. Albeit without as much skin showing, which, sorry fellas, you know, We don't need that. I think Olivia Munn even said when she got into her Psylocke costume, like, they had to use baby powder or something. You know, like, they had to literally, like, ease her into it. We don't need that. We really don't need that. She can be strong and sexy without having to show everything. And I think that's okay. But this is where she can make, you know, this is where she can make the psychic knife and the katana. You know, show intense combat skills, turn against Mojo and Spiral, and cement herself in the MCU, especially with a line of potential UK heroes. The UK heroes, like I said, I'm thinking of Captain Carter. I'm thinking of the Black Knight, Dane Whitman from Eternals. I'm thinking of anything like that. Because you never know what the Midnight Suns are going to do with Blade and stuff. So we have stuff. And we also have the potential for mutants down the road. So, you know, we have things that can be handled. And I'm not quite sure we have a good... We have American, we have African. I don't know about European representation, but we need to have something because superpowers are everywhere, right? So, you know, this could be. But because it would require two casting choices, I really don't know who I would cast because we want someone in the beginning that would be the European kind of model type person. Then they get put in an Asian body. So we want the Asian person. Who would you cast? Because I don't know. I put it in your hands. Who is the demure model turned secret agent? And who is the Japanese assassin struggling to find themselves? Let me know. Let me know in the comments. Let me know via email at b4itall@yahoo.com. So b4itall@yahoo.com. Let me know on Twitter and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. And use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. I leave it to you guys, because this one, I think the story is solid. I really do. I really think that if they wanted to take a character that was known but didn't have a whole lot of history, this is the character to do it with. And this is the kind of storyline we could do and have it really play into it. But I'm anxious to hear you guys' thoughts. Let me know. I'm going to head out for now. I really hope everyone had a good holiday. If you're in the States, we just had the 4th of July. So I hope everyone was safe. I hope everyone is blessed. I hope everyone is happy. I hope everyone is safe, like I said. I hope everyone stays smart. And if you're not smart, don't get caught. I'll see you later, guys. Bye-bye.